Hello, my name is Tony Petrosian. I'm a program manager with the database systems here at Microsoft. And here we have Tobias Sternstrom with us as well. He's a program manager with database systems. And today we're going to talk about Azure SQL Database. We're going to talk about how you can get started with Azure SQL Database and how easy it is to get going. So with that, Tobias, you want to say hello?
Hello.
All right. So he's going to help with the demos, and let's get started. So Azure Platform has a lot of services. You can pretty much do whatever you need to build modern applications. And as part of that, of course, data is a huge part of these applications. And today we're going to talk about Azure SQL Database, which is a relational database as a service within the Azure Platform. So what do we mean by database as a service? Well, the Azure SQL Database is basically allows you to have a database without having to manage an operating system, without having to manage an instance. You can have one database, you can have five databases, you can have 100,000 databases as part of your application, and the system basically manages the database. So when you walk up to Azure SQL Database, you create a database, that's what you're getting. You pay for a database and you get a database. The rest of it, the system takes care of it for you. So for example, Azure SQL Database has a 4.9s availability SLA. That means if databases need to be replicated and put on different machines or whatever it takes to achieve the availability SLA, which we promise, we do the work, you just enjoy the availability. Same thing with backups. Azure SQL Database, the backups are built in. You don't ever have to do backups. What you get to do is restores. So if you accidentally drop a table or you accidentally delete some rows, you can simply go to the portal or use PowerShell or REST APIs to restore your database to a certain point in time just before you made a mistake. For example, if you drop a table at 12:55, then you can go back to 12:54:59, and we will restore the database to that point in time, and you can go recover your data. And that's how easy it is to have a database restored for you. For people who need highly available and geo-replicated databases where you are inclined to have databases in multiple regions to protect yourselves from any kind of a regional disaster, you can use geo-replication. And the geo-replication, you can, again, simply go to the portal, you click on a database, you go to the map, you pick a location you want to replicate your database to, and you have a readable secondary replica. You can have up to four replicas for your database. So it's, again, everything is taken care of for you, and you just use the database. Azure SQL DB, of course, it's built on SQL technology. It's built on SQL 2016 technology. It enjoys all of the security and compliance features that come with SQL Server and as part of the Azure ecosystem. So you have FISMA and FedRAMP and PCI and HIPAA. And you're able to build applications which have the ability to meet the compliance requirements for your workload. As far as programmability goes, Azure SQL Database is, of course, compatible with SQL Server 2014 database surface area. So from a programmatic perspective, it is the same thing as an Azure as a SQL database. And you have the ability to write any T-SQL that runs against SQL Server or Azure SQL Database. Now, when it comes to the performance of the database, We offer you databases that come with performance guarantees, and they range from a basic database to standards and premium. And as the spectrum goes from basic to premium, you get more and more resources, so you can run bigger and bigger workloads. Later on, we'll have a session about performance and scaling Azure SQL DB, so I recommend that you check out that session later to learn about how we actually manage performance within SQL Database. And for people who are running SaaS applications and want to have lots and lots of databases, because you might have hundreds of databases, one database per customer, or you have thousands of databases with one database per customer situation, again, we offer the Elastic Database Pools, where you can pool resources for many, many databases and be able to manage your workload in aggregate and not have to worry about the performance of individual databases. Again, I encourage you to look at the scale and performance session later on.
Isn't that with two very good-looking gentlemen?
Yes, that session happens to be something that Tobias and I are going to do later today. So a little plug for ourselves there. Shameful, Tobias. As far as creating a database in Azure SQL DB, you can walk up to the portal, an Azure portal. It's portal.azure.com. Once you're in there, you can click the plus sign and off you go. We have a number of videos and helpful resources available for you. It's part of the slides, so you can check out the slides. You can watch the demos. But right now, we're going to ask Tobias to go and create a database for us and show us how easy it is to create a database. It better be easy, Tobias.
Oh, let's see if we can do this. Okay, so today I'm using this this Mac of mine, just because we want to show also that you can use Azure SQL Database from basically any environment that you want. And this is the Azure portal, portal.azure.com. And you can see that I already have a Azure SQL DB server created. Now, a server is just a list of databases. So it's not actually like a VM or anything. Actually, there is no cost associated to having this server
thing. So Azure SQL DB servers are free?
Azure SQL DB servers are free.
All right.
But
Can't beat that.
But they're also not very useful. It's the actual database that is useful.
That's right.
So let's go and say SQL database here on the left. And I can click add. And we get the add database blade. And I'll just call my database test. And server is basically which list should it be associated with. So I'll pick this Tobias demo server. And with source, I could go and say I would like this to be pre-created with some data. So we, for example, could get the AdventureWorks sample if we wanted to. But I don't want
that. So if you really want to play and you just want to go kick the tires, you can go and create a sample database. It'll have some data in there and you can go play with it.
Exactly.
All right.
So we have the pricing tier. Let's click that. And this is where I can select basically the horsepower and to some degree the features of the database. So you can see here that it's pre-selected S0 for me, which has 10 DTUs, which is basically the horsepower of the database.
How much is that?
It's 10.
10
DTUs.
All right. I meant how many dollars is that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's go and have a look. 10 DTUs, it's 15 of the dollars.
$15 a month.
15 pirate Excellent. Money. Yes, correct.
And it's charged at the hourly rate.
Yes,
so correct. So if you create a database for 5 hours, you pay for 5 hours.
Correct. If you create one for 1 minute, you also pay for the hour.
Got
it. Bill per hour.
All right. So since its demo is running on my credit card, don't spend too much money.
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, maybe we should actually.
Azure is perfectly good.
Okay, never mind. So I click create database. So now what happens is we go and figure out where is the best place in the Azure cloud to create the database. It gets created. You have all of the backups and all of these things running. So like Tony mentioned, there's no kind of configuring backups. Backups are just there. There's no configuring HA or availability. It's just there.
Sounds good. And so I want to go back to this notion of a server. So this server is in some location, right? So when I create a database, I want to put them in, let's say, West US or North Europe. Mm-hmm. Is that where the server ends up being useful?
Correct. The server decides which location you're in.
Got it. So if I create 100 databases under the same Tobias server, they will all be located in the same region I created the server.
Correct.
And that's a guarantee.
That's a guarantee.
All right. Sounds pretty good. So while your database is being created, I'm going to go and talk about some of the other aspects of Azure SQL Database. As mentioned before, Azure SQL DB comes in these different tiers. We have the basic tier, standard tier, and premium tier. Basic tier basically is the smallest size databases that you can get, $5 a month. And interestingly enough, our availability SLA, the 4.9 SLA, applies to all databases of all tiers. So whether it's basic, standard, or premium, it doesn't really matter. The standard databases get larger. You get more space. A standard database can go up to 250 gig, whereas a basic database is limited to 2 gigabytes. And in the standard tier, we have S0, S1, S2, S3, and they just come with more resources as the numbers get higher. Premium databases, they're the fastest, they're the biggest, they're the most highest throughput databases. And we kind of say that the best, better, and good performance is when you go from premium to basic and basic to premium. As far as business continuity is concerned, all databases are backed up for you. So you're protected from your own errors or any error that might happen, basic standard databases. And you can restore a database in the region which the database was created or any other region. So we have the ability to provide geo-restore. So for example, if you have a database in West Europe and for whatever reason you decide to restore that database in North Europe, because I don't know, maybe you can't reach the region that the database was initially created in, you can go restore this database anywhere you want.
Could I restore it in Brazil?
You can restore the database anywhere that there's an Azure data center. So Geo Restore is a really handy, and it is the cheapest disaster recovery plan you can get. It costs you nothing, and all databases are backed up, and it's a pretty good deal. Again, basic, standard, and premium. With standard databases, you also have the option of geo-replicating your databases between Azure regions that are paired. So for example, if you create a standard database in North Europe, you can geo-replicate it to West Europe. The pairing always remains within the same geopolitical region. So European databases get replicated to Europe, the US databases get replicated to Europe, and so on.
The US.
Sorry, yes. US databases get replicated to US, and so on.
So the US has multiple regions.
There are multiple regions in most of the Azure areas, I guess. So the US has several data center. Australia has 2 data center. So that's how the pairing works. With premium databases, you can always create active georeplica. With active georeplicas, you can use your secondary replicas for read workloads. So if you want to offload some work from your primary databases, you can also use the active georeplicas for that purpose, as well as for your disaster recovery purpose. You can have up to 4 secondary replicas in a premium database if you want to have the same database replicated into multiple regions. So that kind of gives you the basic understanding of the Azure SQL database offers. I invite you to go to the portal, go check out the pricing page, and see the various offering. Now, the basic, standard, and premium applies to singleton databases. When you go buy a single database, you can have basic or standard or premium. It also applies to our Elastic pools. So you can go purchase an Elastic pool database for basic databases and standard databases and premium databases. And the idea there is an Elastic pool, which is of standard type, allows you to range the performance of the individual databases within that pool according to the standard range of performance and burst levels. So a premium pool will allow you to go all the way up to 750 DTUs, while a standard pool will only allow a single database to burst to 100 DTUs. So this is some basic information about our databases. Now, how's your database doing? Did it get created?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So the next question is, okay, so we create this database. It seemed like it was a pretty easy affair to create a database. But how do I connect to it? What can I do with this database? So obviously, Azure SQL database is just a SQL Server database. So anything that applies to SQL Server also applies to Azure SQL database and SQL Data Warehouse as well. For as far as the languages are concerned, well, we'd like to have a range of possibilities for our customers based on whatever your preference is. So clearly, we support C# and VB. We also support Java, C, C++. We have PHP support, JavaScript, Python, and Ruby. So the very next question usually people ask is, well, that's a lot of languages. I can program in any language I want. But how does that work? So let's look at the stack that actually enables this to work. So obviously, we're something like C Sharp. We have our ADO.NET client connectivity libraries that allows you to connect to a SQL database from any Windows platform. For Java, Java is a multi-platform offering. Our JDBC driver runs on Windows, Linux, and Mac. So if you're a Java programmer, you basically get our JDBC driver, and you can simply connect to SQL Server and SQL DB and SQL DW from whatever platform of your choice you want to program from. For native code, obviously, our ODBC driver is available on Windows as well as Linux, and you could write code against ODBC. For our PHP customers, we have a couple of options. If you're doing PHP on Windows, you can use our ODBC driver and PHP driver combination that allows you to have connectivity to SQL from PHP. We also support free TDS and dblib options for people who want to write PHP on Linux and connect to SQL.
And just to be clear, free TDS is an open source project that supports SQL Server. So I guess it's more FreeTDS supports SQL Server.
Yes, FreeTDS supports SQL Server and SQL DB as well.
And we're very happy about that.
Yeah, that's great. When it comes to JavaScript, again, we have an ODBC driver with a Node.js driver on top of that on a Windows platform, you could use that stack to write JavaScript against SQL Server. We also see a lot of use on TDS, which is a full stack implementation in JavaScript, runs on Windows, Linux, as well as Mac. And you can use that to connect to SQL Server. Again, it works SQL DB, SQL Server, and SQL DW.
Which is also another open source project.
It is an open source project. And we make sure that it works.
Yeah, and with a very, smart name.
Yes, TDS. Takes off after the TDS protocol, I guess.
Tabular data stream.
Yes. Our Python customers who like to write code in Python, obviously PyMS SQL on top of FreeTDS is available on Windows, Macs, Linux, and similar with Ruby, TinyTDS with FreeTDS allows connectivity from Ruby. So this is a huge spectrum of languages and platforms that people can use to program against Azure SQL database. And so if you have a preference on the language and we don't support it, you can send an email to Tobias and we'll start working on it, right? TobiasD@Microsoft.com.
Well, hopefully someone else has already worked on it.
Yes. So I like to just take one of those stacks and zoom in a little bit just to see how exactly does this work. So for somebody who wants to write code in Python, a lot of people actually write code against Django. It's a nice framework for building apps, and it's a very popular thing. Within that, there's an ORM that allows you to persist your data into SQL. So the Django PyMS SQL connector works pretty well, and that uses the T-SQL connectivity with PyMS SQL, which ultimately runs on top of FreeTDS. So you can see that the transitions of the protocol from T-SQL to dblib and ultimately through TDS to SQL Server. So this is how the whole stack works. And it's pretty performant. And as you can see, FreeTDS shows up in a lot of different places for various languages. And so if you're a Django lover, Azure SQL DB or SQL Server works for you. So with that, I'd like to give the floor to Tobias so he can wow us with some interesting demos. Do they look good or are they just like...
Of course they look
good. Let's take a look.
Amazing.
All right.
So first of all, we're back here in the Azure portal. And as you can see, my database that I created, test, is created. I can click on it. And we see here that it's located on the server, tobiasdemo.database.windows.net. It's an S0 with the 10 DTUs, and so on. So now I'm ready to use it. And we've created on GitHub a bunch of samples that you can use just to get started in playing with Azure SQL Database or SQL Server from many of the languages and runtimes and such that Tony just talked about.
So if I'm using any of those, I want to use any of those things against SQL, I can go to GitHub and get the samples?
Exactly.
What do I search for?
Well, you search for Meet or Andrea. Those are the people that actually did this. It's basically Azure-SQL-database-samples.
Okay.
And you'll find that project.
Excellent.
So let's just take a look here. Let's start with a Django, which is this web framework, so we kind of can see an end-to-end app.
Okay.
Right? So I have the Django.
You actually know how to use this stuff.
I have no idea.
But in this case, a
character named Meet Bagdev was kind enough to write it down for me.
All right.
So we can kind of follow the steps here.
So you have instructions.
I have instructions.
All right, let's see if you can actually follow instructions.
Now, that's also somewhat tough.
Yeah, that's the difficulty.
So I actually already installed what's needed on my machine. So on this machine, we're running Mac OS X, Yosemite, and it already has Brew installed and FreeTDS, you know, the Django itself, the PyMS SQL driver, and the adapter for the ORM that's called Django-PyMSQL. And in this case, I also cloned the project from GitHub, so I have the whole project downloaded. So the first step here, according to Meet, is to run this setup.py, which will basically create one stored procedure that he needs to run this project. So let's take a look here. We have setup.py, so I'll just do Python. I guess setup.py, and we'll go and have a look. And then it wants server name, database name, username, and password. So server name is tobiasdemo.database.windows.net. And then it was the database name, which is test. My username is Tobias, and my very secret password, not to be shared with anyone. Close your eyes and ears.
Right.
Demo 1234, and
wow.
We run it, and it worked. So now this basically created a stored procedure.
I was pretty sure that piece was going to work. Your typing, that's another story.
My God. Always
with this. All right, move on. Let's see it.
So the next step is to configure Django to use SQL DB. So I'm using Visual Studio Code here, which is Visual Studio Editor, basically code editor that works across Windows, Mac, and Linux.
So we have Visual Studio running on your Mac here.
I have Visual Studio Code,
okay,
which is a great editor. And it has ability to compile and build, integration with GitHub, etc. So I open this Django project here, and there is this settings.py file I need to go edit. Let's just double check in the wonderful guide here. Yeah, edit settings py with your database settings. Okay.
And so basically, you have to give it the information about the server database that you created so it knows where to go.
Exactly. Right. I have put in a request with the Django folks. It should just know this. It should figure out automatically what I want to do.
Of course.
So tobiasdemo.database.windows.net. We have the username, or the name of the database, rather, which is test. The user is Tobias at Tobias Demo. And the password is, again, demo1234. And that's it. Okay. So let's go back to the guide here. So I edited. Then I need to run the migration to actually create all of the tables and so on. So Python manage py migrate. So we'll do that, Python manage.py, migrate.
And this is all pretty standard fare for Python, Django.
Yeah, this is just how you do it with Django. So there's nothing different here from if you were using some other database engine than SQL DB or SQL Server.
Got it. Now, we did say that this session was about Azure SQL Database, but obviously, when it comes to this stuff, it's just SQL.
It's just SQL. It's just TDS and T-SQL. So this works nicely with a SQL Server as well. And if depending on what you're doing, it can work with Azure SQL Data Warehouse as well. Okay, so now let's take a look. That worked well. So now I just need to run the server. So we do Python manage.py run server. And it's up and listening on this URI here, port 8000. So let's open one of these new tabs. And there we go.
So this is a an application developed in Django.
Exactly. So we'll say create sample polls. It's a polling application so that we can vote on things. So we'll create sample polls. And we apparently have a poll.
All right.
Do you commute to work?
I walk. Is that an option?
Apparently it is.
All right.
How very un-American of you. I hit walk. And for you, you're voting walk.
Yes.
And then I vote again. And I'll vote car.
And how Swedish of you.
Yes. Well, okay. I will need a Swedish vote as well, which is public transportation.
All right.
There we go. So now we voted. And let's just, to look at the votes, let's use another language and runtime. So,
So we have a database. We built an app, Django app. It's a voting app. It's using the database to put the vote results in there.
Correct.
Okay, so that's a normal SQL database. And so you're going to do what now?
So let's look at the data that's been
in
stored
the database.
In the database.
Okay.
But let's not use Django for this. Let's just use another language. So we have a sample here created for us in Ruby.
All right.
So here, similarly, instead of now Python, this is coded in Ruby. We can see that it uses the TinyTDS project. So let's say here username. I would like to log in as Tobias at Tobias demo. The password is demo1234. And the service Tobias demo. And the database is test. Correct? And it seems like I did something wrong here. Oh, there we go. Tony, you forgot to add a single apostrophe over there. And in Swedish, refer to this as enkelfnutt.
All right.
For our Swedish viewers. This is enkelfnutt,
yeah,
and
like
there's double
five
flute.
Of them watching you. Probably all family.
That's
all right. Let's see if this works.
Yeah, let's go in now. And here I am in the Ruby directory. So I'll basically say Ruby and run the AzureCon Ruby sample. And yay, we apparently have one vote for walking here. We have one vote for public transportation, and we have one vote for car.
All right, so basically we've created a database in the portal, in the Azure portal. We created a Django app for voting that runs on the Mac. Like, built it on the Mac, it runs on the Mac. Then we used Ruby to connect to the database, to actually query the database from Ruby. So that's pretty diverse set of languages and platforms. I'm assuming that this works with any of the languages. You can go into Server Management Studio and do the queries and see all this stuff. You can write C#. All of that will work.
Exactly. Exactly. So we can actually go back here and take a look in this GitHub repository. So for example, there is a .NET sample here. You can take a look in C#. So in C#, you would use ADO.NET or System Data SQL Client to connect, run a query.
Now, if you did that, you could also enable Azure Active Directory to connect to your database so you didn't have to type the passwords.
Correct.
Or share your passwords with all the
Absolutely.
Audience.
Absolutely. Right. And we can also take a look here at, for example, Node.js. We have a sample here for Linux, for example, where you can see here it uses TDS library. Do the same kind of thing with connect the username and password, and you can execute your statements.
Excellent. So all of these samples are in GitHub. If you're a developer and you want to try out Azure SQL Database, you want a quick get started, you can pick up the samples and try it. You could also create a sample database in Azure SQL DB portal with some data and some tables in there so that you can just use that to play around. And then hopefully you'll find a this stuff to be really easy, and you'll build a really cool application that runs on Azure SQL Database. So let's go back to the slides, because I have some information up here for you. If you want to learn more, you can, again, pick up the slides here. There's a Getting Started guide. The GitHub repository is there. Elastic Database Pool. There's some videos there that tells you all about this stuff. So hopefully this half an hour session was just enough to get you started. There's a lot more material there, and then you can find out through this links. And that's our session on getting started with Azure SQL Database. Thanks a lot for watching. Tobias, thanks for the demos.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, everyone, for watching.